You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, side B.
You want to talk about J. Cole?
Let's do it. Meek Mill looks like he just got out of jail.
Why is that?
He's in a Philly locker room. He's clearly bigger. Yeah, he has a brown t-shirt on.
Boy, they really just pumped him over there as soon as possible, huh?
1,000%. It's almost like, all right, look, we'll let you out of jail on one condition.
We've got some terms.
We're in the NBA playoffs, right? You can just come and... Somebody retweeted an old Meek tweet that said Heat for the win tonight from 2010. Yo, people are trash. People are trash. Yeah, come to the game. You can just rally the troops up to get us this important game. Was this game four? Game five?
Game five. They're up 3-1. They win tonight. They get to rest a little bit before the next series. You know.
Yeah.
You know, we just need you to, you know, the city, by the way, this city adopted one of your songs as like its anthem in your absence. So, you know, could you just come out and perform for us a little bit? You know, I know you just got out of prison, but come on.
Just got out of prison. I know you woke up in jail today.
Mm-hmm.
That's a question I have. Did Meek even know when he woke up this morning that he was going to like be free by 5 o'clock? Man. If so, that's crazy.
Right. That's a day where you wake up with Father Stretch My Hands playing in your head. That opening, sure. That's your day.
Absolutely.
Except now I'm imagining Meek scream rapping over Father Stretch My Hands, and it's just not. Anyway, J. Cole.
I still want to hear him on Rap Niggas. That Nipsey record. He would kill that.
I wonder what the first thing that he raps. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see. There's a whole musical side to the Meek Mill Renaissance that's coming.
The Meek Mill. No, they came out to I'm a Boss.
Really?
Yeah.
Seems like a swing and a miss.
Yeah.
Unless they're going to play Dreams and Nightmares while he rings the bell or whatever. Like, I don't know.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Yep. All right.
J. Cole. Oh, boy. J. Cole. When we last spoke, did we know about the album?
No.
We knew there was something.
Did we? No. Yeah. Because this was when he was doing the shows.
Yeah. So he does the show in New York. First come, first serve. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Ends up he premieres the album.
Mm-hmm.
Tries to tell people don't record it. Mm-hmm. Good luck with that.
Right.
And then it turns out album comes out 2 days later, 3 days later.
Yeah.
And so here we are.
How do you feel about that? How do you feel about his whole rollout? Just like the pre rollout. Do you like that?
Yeah. I think he went all the way with the. This wasn't done on a whim.
Not at all.
Right. Because clearly he had at least 2 videos prepared already. Like, this was a rollout. This wasn't let's do it.
Yeah.
I think that can sometimes happen with surprise releases where, like, the artist is almost as surprised as we are.
Right.
Where it was like, this was clearly, like, an idea, which was, like, J. Cole's going to get his week plus of, like, major promo. I think for an album like this where, we'll talk about it, I don't think there are obvious, like, he's not trying to challenge Drake for like Song of the Summer with this album.
No.
So when you have an album like that, I think, and you're an artist of J. Cole stature, I think a surprise release can make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because in this era of, hey, Kanye West is going to surprise tweet about all these albums, whatever, like you got to have something, right? And so I think this almost felt a little bit like Kendrick's rollout, not even more compressed.
I completely forgot about the damn rollout.
Right, where it was like, oh, Heart Part 4, oh, Humble, oh, album.
Okay, yep.
Right, like that was a little bit more structured, but it was all like boom, boom, boom.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
was definitely, and given where, I mean, kind of lucky, right? I mean, good thing he got this, you know, I mean, we'll talk about like, it's, you know, first of all, streaming numbers are doing incredibly well right now. Like, although I want to call it, like, no disrespect to him, like, streaming services are growing so fast that at this point, every major album is going to set a new record.
Yep.
Like, just be aware of that. But, like, sure, celebrate it. Like, you know.
Sure.
Shout out to J. Cole. But, like, if y'all don't think that Drake album is going to do insane numbers, like, listen.
That's like, why I think he's going to – he has found something in the system to say I'm going platinum in a week.
Right. He's going to do crazy stream numbers. But, like, so J. Cole's doing, like, record streams first week because he just has this little moment, right? And, like, this is kind of – you know, there's a couple different ways you can do it, right? You can do the, like – if you're, it just depends. Like, this is, we've said this before, this is the strength of the system now. Like, you have to take advantage of it, which is you have so much flexibility between social media, between releasing the streaming services, like you have a little bit more flexibility to sort of craft a rollout that can make sense. I mean, there's a really like the bar has been raised in terms of what you can do creatively. Unfortunately, sometimes it means there isn't much of a safety net as well. Like there used to be a little bit less variance and it was like, well, we announce an album and we put out some singles and then we release the album. Sometimes it cannot work mm-hmm. or you can get lost in the shuffle
mm-hmm.
because you timed it wrong. But I think for him, he's timing it really well because mm-hmm. nobody else came out with a major project. I mean, there's been like huge single releases, but like what was the last big album to come out?
Cardi.
Which is a totally different world.
Yeah.
Right? Like Drake telegraphed, Drake's not coming for a little while.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it worked out for him. Like Kanye's
he kind of was like, all right, like I'm coming, everybody get your stuff together.
Either right. And it's like, right. And you can see Kanye staking out. He's like, it's like movie studios do this where they try to say, oh, I'm taking this release weekend and this release weekend. Kanye is like, okay, Drake said June. Huh? All right. So let's go May, June, 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 June. And he's like, you know, maybe we can convince Drake to not drop until the end of June. Like,
right. I was going to say that's a good point. So either Drake comes out against Kanye and Cudi, or Drake waits until the 22nd and comes out with Tiana.
Yeah, because I think that's...
He waits until the 29th. Right,
you could wait till the 22nd. I think it'd be okay.
Yeah.
No offense to Tiana. They're not going to compete in the same stratosphere, right? Or he could, you know, right, because he's not going to go early because that looks like you're responding to Kanye, right? But like, so in the midst of all this, J. Cole gets to just like slide right in, right? Mm-hmm. He's got a concept. He's got like this really like... I actually think this is a really good rollout, right? Like, you know, he tries to make the concept mysterious, but then he like also like releases an album trailer where like he talks about the three meetings. So it's not that mysterious, mm-hmm. which is kind of a J. Cole thing to do. That's very on brand. You know, he like verifies the lyrics on Genius, which is great because people are going, because his fans are going to go there for stuff. He's got the videos, which I want to talk about, but like it's about the album for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was able to grab attention leading up to the album. And then he's, you know, dominated the, you know, the music conversation, you know, he's been one of the dominant things about music conversation for the past like week, and he's going to get his big first stream numbers and he can go tour now and he can do whatever he needs to do. And who knows, maybe one of these songs will like, might work for him in terms of staying on the chart for a little while. But
mm-hmm.
I think the rollout's been great. What do you think?
Yeah, I like it. Like I said, when I said it last week, I was really looking forward to the album, just based off of, you know, let's throw an event where we just listen to the album together. Yeah, just really short, quick, to the point, the way people are nowadays. Like Cole works in a controlled carelessness, a controlled spontaneity, a deliberate spontaneity, where we said it last week, like he clearly has everything calculated and thought out, but it looks so, oh yeah, yeah, I'm putting out an album. Like it looks very not what it is. And that works to his benefit very well. He is the anti-Drake in a sense of he is very much not about the spotlight, down to the way he dresses, the way his hair is. It all coincides with somebody like Drake, who is always the center of attention, always looks pristine, put together, always looks like, you know, the center of attention. And J. Cole is very much the opposite of that. And it works with what he talks about and what he raps about in his music, or how what people believe that he raps about in his music. We'll get to that. But yeah,
I think J. Cole likes being famous.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I'm not going to say that he doesn't like being famous. I'm saying that he does not play into it publicly.
I think that's part of, not the shtick. That's a terrible way to put it. I think that's
the image.
That's the image.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, behind the scenes, he could have solid gold Jordans and.
I'm not even saying like that kind of famous. I'm just saying like, look, like at a fundamental level, like he could release this for free. He could like, look, he's still like expecting y'all to like pay for it or go like pay for your streaming service. Like dude wants his numbers. Like sure. Make no mistake about that.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But like, let's just all like keep a, let's all be clear-eyed about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So do you want to talk about the meaning to the album that he has talked about, or do you want to start track by track first?
Nah, you got it. I'm not going to talk. Like my thoughts are not necessarily track by track. My thoughts are surmised in the whole project. That's where I'm really going to go in.
So let's do track by track and then we can talk about what he says by the three meetings.
Okay.
So the intro is, When I heard the intro, which, you know, there's no rapping on it. I don't want to spend too much time on it. Musically, I'm hearing this and I immediately thought to myself, oh, is J. Cole going to try to make To Pimp a Butterfly? And the answer to that question is sort of.
Kind
of,
yeah.
There's a lot of Kendrick influence happening here.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to talk about the first quote-unquote real song, K.O.D., which, and we'll talk about the meanings, but according to Cole, K.O.D. means kids on drugs, king overdosed, and killer demons.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, right, like, I'll just be like 100% honest right up front. Like, I'm immediately suspicious if you have an acronym for an album and you have three ways to define the acronym.
Mm-hmm.
It feels a little overthought, a little overwrought to me. It's like, no, like, it just stands for something. Like, this feels a little oops pal surprise to me, but that's okay. So
hey, Christian rappers, all this time y'all been doing acronyms and everybody thought it was corny. Y'all better get back on that train while J. Cole made it hot.
So the title track, K.O.D., produced by J. Cole. And like right away, he's sort of purposely, to me, showing you, oh, you know the way this new generation is rapping? I can do that too. And better.
I think that is one of the sonic themes on this album.
Well, right. And so flows, like,
cadences.
Yeah, definitely flows and cadences at times. And even drum selection at times, although I can't tell if he's trying to be like, oh, look, I'm rapping over trap drums. Har, har, har. Right? I mean, I will say, I'm just going to get it right out of the way. Like, I will specifically call out when I think like certain beats really work. But like, this beat is fine. And so I think the way that you feel about this song, and maybe a bunch of these songs, is going to boil down to this, like, as it does with all J. Cole music. Like, when you listen to a song, how much does the beat matter to you?
Yeah.
Do you need a banger, basically? And now I'm even giving myself short shrift there. Like, do you need the beat to be like, oh yeah, like to really kind of get you going, and then the lyrics on top of that? Or like, do you approach it as like, oh yeah, this is a good beat, but like, Cole is like spitting and that's enough for you? Because if it is, you're gonna have a bit of a different perspective on this album than I might. But like, because, you know, dude is flowing on this and he's spitting, but like, the song is cool to me. It's cool, it's fine.
I think that the production is more of the foundation. I think the production is meant to get you to move.
Yes, yeah, there's definitely a like, it's not so much like, I don't think he wants you focusing on the production.
No, but it's music, so it has to do something, and it has to hit certain senses that makes you move. So it's tempo and it's drums, and all of the melody are in his flows and him singing.
Yeah.
Like every single song, he's flowing a different way. He is singing a lot more. And these aren't new things. Like, this isn't like Cole introducing this out of his arsenal. He's been doing this for a while. I think there's just an emphasis on it. And all he has to do within that, because if he is specifically catering to this audience that is assumptively only listening for the beat, only listening for the melody, singing along the stuff that they don't really understand what it means, he doesn't have to, you know, where certain artists write where everything matters. Like, you know, we suck at that. Like, you just have to have something hit maybe at the end. So like with KOD, like, it's a build up. It's like battle rap. It's what they call in battle rap, a 4-bar build up, where you build, and then you get to the punch.
Right.
So when, by the time he gets to, you know, niggas ain't worthy to be on my stuff, like, it's the, oh, because I saw the clip when that dropped, everybody was like, yo, like, it worked.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, this record works. Like, it's cool. It's cool, but it works.
Sure, I get that.
That's the theme for me for this album. It's cool, but it works.
Photograph, also produced by Cole. I just want to say, like, I love the concept of this song, like, mm-hmm. right at the top. Like, I like a lot of concepts in this album, actually. Mm-hmm. I think Cole is once again sort of using a more energetic flow, feeling a little Kendrick-ish to me, even right down to the hook. I think the beat on this is fine. Honestly, like, to me, this is a song as an example of where, like, Cole the producer sort of holds back Cole the rapper. Mm-hmm. That is a constant theme every time we talk about Cole and Collaborative Speakers. Don't worry, I'm not gonna talk about the drums like I do on like I did 5 years ago. I don't know. Photograph is fine. It's cool. I like the idea is really interesting, and I kind of wish it was better execution, but it's fine.
Yeah, I like the I really like the way he flowed on this record. The way he flowed on this record and the concept made me like the song.
Yeah. No, I get that. I totally get that.
But in theory, the beat is cool. Like it's cool.
It's cool. The Cutoff featuring Kill Edward. Mm-hmm. So let's just get this out of the way. Kill Edward is J. Cole. I know. Just pitched. So rappers have done this before.
Mm-hmm. I mean, back to Positive K. I got a man.
Well, yeah. You know, Nas did it with Scarlett.
Forgot about that.
Uh-huh. Yep. You know, Ray and Ghost did it on a not quite as like this sort of thing, but
not Sharkbiters.
The other one. Clyde Smith.
Yep.
So like this has been done before. I mean, Kendrick notoriously will play with the pitch of his voice. I don't know if I've ever seen it. I mean, aside from the Scarlett thing where it was like featuring somebody else. okay, fine. Whatever.
But Kill Edward isn't Edward his demon or something like that?
Yeah. And Edward is the name of his dad. Like if you really want to get go there.
Good. That just fortifies my point. Fantastic. Like, I didn't know that.
I kind of like this beat actually.
I'm
predictable, but it's also just a better beat. It's J. Cole and someone who I'm guessing is pronounced as Black, BLVK. He's also, to me, back on a more traditional J. Cole type flow here. And like, let me say this, like, again, like, man, the topic of this song, like, hits home to me. Not so much about the drugs necessarily. Like, I've been lucky enough, like, that has not been a major part of my life, my family's life. But like, the idea of like, you know, cutting people off because they're like using you, et cetera, like that really hit home. And like, I kind of found myself wanting another J. Cole verse on this. Like, there's a lot of songs in here where like, I kind of, for a J. Cole record, album, there's actually not as much rapping as you'd think in these 42 minutes.
No,
some of these songs are short. Yep. And some are
like one verse is him singing, then there's a hook, and then he raps.
Right. There's like, yeah, there's a lot of two verse songs on here, and it's like, man, I could use another one. But I think this is a dope record. Actually, I really like the Cutoff. How do you feel?
Yeah, the Cutoff is cool. It's cool. I'm weird. Like, I'm the other person where like I value relationships so much that I hate cutting people off.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I hate when people brag on the need to cut people off.
Mm.
I hate that. Like, almost like we always paint ourselves as the victims when it comes to relationships. Like, this person did me wrong, so I had to cut them off. Like, sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes it's your fault. Sometimes you did something wrong and they had to cut you off. Or sometimes you guys are just mutually toxic to each other. Or sometimes relationships just end. But I just hate this whole, like, I'm not saying that cutting people off is bad. And I'm not saying that, like, people shouldn't. But just anytime I hear about people cutting people off, it's always in the, I'm a victim, this person did me dirty, and I had to let them go. And that gets old after a while. But this record is cool. It's cool. I like the drums on it. That's one of those drums where like really? I heard the drums and I was like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
I know.
We didn't use these ever. And now I can't use them. Just like I can't use the drums he used on False Prophets. Like, somebody sent me a beat that was really dope, but it has the False Prophets drums on it.
Why can't you use it?
I probably still will, because I love the sample that the producer used. So I'm just like, I'll just do it anyway. Listen, but I don't want it to seem like, oh, those are the J. Cole drums. I don't want to be that guy.
Listen, Kanye took the drums from Explosive and used them on Guess Who's Back. So like,
that's different. You took the drum pattern, but you used different drums.
No, those are the same drums.
Nah, those are not the same
drums. They are 100% the same drums.
No.
Yep.
Nope. I argue with you on that one.
Okay. Let's talk about ATM.
Okay.
Produced by Deputy and J. Cole.
Okay.
This pre-chorus here feels very Kendrick Lamar.
Oh my God. This is Jumanji Lamar.
Mm. And he's up in the energy, right? In tempo at least. But like, the beat sort of is the contrast to that, right? Because it's very like, there's an energy to the drums, but like these very downbeat, muted pianos in the background. I think the beat kind of works. I think the video to the song is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, I mean, they're going for an aesthetic. It is very like 90s, like Hype Williams-ish. Right?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, this reeked of Give Me Some More.
And honestly, I was like, you know what? That's actually really cool. Like I think that actually really works. And it gives me a glimpse at what a label might have done with J. Cole in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
Where like you give like you know, you give him the quirky video and you try to make it work. You know what I mean? Like, that video made me like more of a J. Cole fan than almost anything I've seen from him in a long time, in a sense. I was like, okay, that's a really it totally worked for me.
Yeah.
I'm not in love 100% with the song. I'm generally not. I don't know. There's a fine line to me between like scolding and like trying to like talk about like sort of, how do I put this? Talk about like things that you feel people shouldn't be doing, or like concerns you have about the way that people act. And like, sometimes J. Cole goes a little towards, I don't know, he doesn't find the right balance to me. The song itself, like actual execution, like it works. I think the video helps the song tremendously, actually. But I'll give him credit. It's kind of, I have found it like warming its way in my head a little bit. So like, that's a good sign for him. I think the video, could like extend the life of the song a little bit, but I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it. How do you feel about ATM?
This was the first song. Well, no, it wasn't. KOD was, but, and it might've been just based off of the video. But as soon as I heard this, I said, this is going to go live.
Yeah.
This whole album is going to go live. Like, this album is going to perform really well. I'll get into that a little later, but as a song, it's cool.
it's cool.
It again, like, it does exactly what it's supposed to do. Like, you can tell that Cole had an objective and he accomplishes that objective on this song. So yeah, it's cool.
So then we get Motivate, produced by Cole. I'll just get this out of the way. This beat is not doing it for me at all. Which I get it. Like, the beat exists to give J. Cole room to, it exists. Like, it is, first of all, it's a really short song. It's 2 minutes and 13 seconds. Like, it basically, it's like they had to find a way to like allow Cole to sort of rap what he wanted to rap about, like with a beat getting out of the way and enough room for that Get Money sample to cut through, which I think is well done. But like, and I think the concept of the song kind of works for what it is, but the actual execution, I'm just kind of like, I don't know. How do you feel about Motivate?
I actually think the beat is dope.
Huh?
It kind of reminds me of, it's like, I'm trying to think, it's like some like some 97, 98 Suave House kind of 8-Ball Lost. Like, I think the beat is dope.
I kind of understand that. I'm not a big fan of.
So
like that 8-Ball album, I probably liked 2 songs off of. So like,
but no, that I like the beat. The song itself is cool. It's cool.
Okay.
Yeah, it's cool.
Kevin's Heart, produced by T-Minus. Which doesn't sound like a T-Minus song.
It doesn't. Sounds like a J. Cole beat. I think we've been trained to just assume that. Or it's like when Just Blaze produced for M.
Mm.
So it's like people are giving J. Cole beats, or J. Cole is asking for J. Cole beats.
Right. This beat is okay. So I'm beating a dead horse here. Like, I love the idea of this song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know it's an obvious double entendre, right? Is he addicted to lust or is it drugs? Like, I think that all totally works. I think the execution of the song itself, it's kind of a slow grower. I didn't expect to see Kevin Hart in the video for this.
Yo, the video was great.
I was like, huh.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think he's in on it because I think his tour that he's on right now is completely around his infidelity.
Man.
Like, he's embraced it and now he's just like, right. Yeah.
But yeah, I suspect, much like ATM, like, I think the video for this might help it over time.
100%.
Yeah.
It was cool when I heard it, and I agree with you. It was a slow burner, but watching the video today made me really like it.
Made you a fan.
Yep.
Let's talk about Brackets, because I've seen some people really like this song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have too.
Produced by Cole, with a great Richard Pryor intro. I think the beat on this song 1000% works.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
It's chill, laid back, but it works. So we talked on Side A about Kanye, and like, it's one thing like for him to tweet about crazy, like sort of crazy politics. But like, if that starts working its way into the song content, that's where like I get sort of concerned. Cause I think like, I don't know, I think it's hard enough sometimes to make a really dope song. Like, the writing is good. There's a catchy hook. The music is good. Interjecting politics in that can sometimes work amazingly well, but you've now introduced another variable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I'll nitpick on this a little bit. Like, I'm not really a fan of some of the politics that he is advocating on here. Like, I understand the frustration. I think we've all felt frustration with like paying taxes and like what am I paying for, etc. But like, let me get pedantic and get my nerd hat on.
No,
like,
there was a, just
like,
hold on,
look, yo, we, just, you get you comfortable. Yeah, no, it'll be short. It'll be short. Just like, there's a reason why, like, we have a republic and not like a democracy, right? Like, people don't directly, the idea is they don't directly like vote on like individual like bills and stuff that happens. Like, the idea is like we elect representatives. It's a representative democracy or republic, right? And they make decisions for us. And like, we don't really want a world where someone like J. Cole, not because he's a bad person, but like where a person, say J. Cole, could decide where their tax dollars go, which is like a chunk of like what he's talking about in the song. And I understand he has real frustrations for it, but like, think about if like a stereotypical like ultra conservative.
Hi there, David.
I don't know why Siri kept creeping up on me. I got to turn Hey Siri off while I'm recording.
Because they're bootlegging Glock Radio.
So they like, imagine if like, okay, great, we're going to let rappers, woke rappers even, pick where their tax dollars go. Cool. So like, every rich guy who's ever donated it to Donald Trump is also going to pick where their tax dollars go. And like, I just want everybody to like think about for like 5 seconds, like, about what a terrible idea that is. Like, it's already bad enough, the influence that money has on politics. So like, this is a tremendously like naive and bad idea. And I worry about stuff like that in the context of somebody whose heart is in the right place and who is seen by his fans as like sort of being politically, a little bit more politically astute, certainly than the average rapper, and is sort of looked up to. Like, I get very worried like about stuff. Because like, here's an example. Like, if Kanye West rapped this exact same content in a Kanye West style, I would sort of go, okay, that's kind of interesting. But I don't think most like hip hop fans look to Kanye West to like set their political agenda. But like, there will be people who like think about things in a slightly different way because J. Cole rapped about it. So like, I kind of worry about it. It's just much the same if Kendrick did the same thing. Right. Like, I would be a little concerned about that. But the actual song itself, like, I think it mostly works. I don't love the singing on here. I think J. Cole's singing sometimes is, I'll say, hit or miss. Right. But I think the end of that second verse really like punches through and works. I think it's a dope beat. I get it. I'm trying to not let my pedantic like politics mind like take over the song. Like, I think this song mostly works. So now that I've stepped off the soapbox, Armand, how do you feel about brackets?
I don't even think my opinion matters.
No, like, go ahead. Of course your opinion matters.
I mean, what I mean is that your opinion is so informed by, you know, we know that this is what you get your degree in. So when you kind of go on these tangents, these are things that I'm not nearly as knowledgeable in as you.
Well, you could just judge it for, you know.
Yeah, it's not a, I mean, it is what it is. It's cool.
I was gonna say, this never let us stop giving an opinion before.
Right. I think it's so weird. Like, when people, I think he said it himself on 1985, where he said everybody basically knows everything. And so when we see a problem nowadays, like, Twitter is unbearable now because you can't joke, you can't say an opinion, like, you can't really do anything on there because there's a good chance that if your tweet goes viral, there's a bunch of people all over the place like spouting out their opinions. And if you don't want to deal with that, like, you should probably just say, I like hamburgers or something like that. This is good, this is bad. So like, in theory, I think I agree with you. Like, in theory, like, okay, yeah, all these politics are really bad and it's one of the reasons why we are where we are. But here's a fix. Boom, boom, boom. And everybody's like, yeah, you're right. And it's like, slow down for just a second. I don't think that people have the answers to everything like they think they do. And I think that's what's going to get us in trouble. I think people are going to say, yeah, we should just do this. And then somebody in power or with the ability to get power or have power is going to say, all right, let's do it. And then we do it. And it's going to be way worse than we are now. And people are going to be clamoring for where we are right now. So I would just advise people to be very careful on just spouting out these easy fix policies for institutions that have existed for generations. Like, I don't think it's that easy. Now, as for the song, it's cool. It's cool. It's all right.
Why do you think people are really identifying with this song? Is it just because it's Cole on a very like, on a beat that's right in a lot of his fans' wheelhouse?
Yeah, it's like it's woke Cole.
Woke Cole?
Yeah, I think woke Cole is, I think people love woke Cole, and I think we need to talk about woke Cole.
Do you want to do it now or you want to wait?
I mean, we can. We can do it now.
I you're think... like, we need to talk about it. We can.
Yeah, we can. I mean, I just don't know if you want to wrap it up now or if you want to do it now or you want to do it when we talk about the album.
We can talk about it. Let's keep going and then we'll come back to it.
We're almost done.
Yeah, we're almost done. Once an Addict, which is an interlude, despite the fact that it's longer than...
It's a song.
It's a song. I'm going to say this right now. This is one of my favorite songs on here, actually. I think when J. Cole is sampling, as opposed to when he's trying to not sample or make it sound like he's not sampling, I think his, like, he came up as a producer who samples. I think that's where his strengths are. So, like, when he is working solely, and, like, I haven't seen any, like, instrumentation credits. I mean, I could see, actually, I see the credits. And, like, when it says produced by J. Cole, it's produced by J. Cole, not with, like, the, it's not like Eminem where, like, oh, J. Cole with the Bass Brothers. You know what I mean? Like, that, it's J. Cole. And so, like, when he's not sampling, I think he is somewhat limited, right, in terms of, like, what he does. And so, like, records where he is sampling, now, obviously, I like samples, so, like, I'm a bit biased there, but I also just think he's better at it. And I think this is an example of, like, this is a good beat. It's the same sample source as Bablo Boat, actually, which is interesting. I think, like, the topic here, the way the Cole's rapping, like, what he's rapping about, how he's rapping, the beat, like, I think this all 100% works, like... I think, and I want to talk about it on the next song, especially, like, sometimes, like, this album feels kind of heavy for a 42-minute album, but, like, as an individual song, I think this is dope. How do you feel?
I think that my overall theme and feel of this album starts with this song.
Mm. What do you mean by that?
There's a sharp turn in terms of feel. This is where it starts to get heavy. And then that's kind of where I get into my whole dissertation on J. Cole, about mental health, about people's perceptions of him and artists and all that stuff starts with this song. Song's cool. Song's cool. Spoiler alert. I don't think there's anything whack on this album.
There's some songs I could do without.
Okay.
But I hear you. You're right. There's nothing that you just hear and you're like, nope.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, there's nothing like that here.
Exactly.
Next up is the second appearance of Kill Edward, aka J. Cole Pitch Down. Friends, produced by Childish Major and J. Cole, which is an interesting combo. I'm not really a fan of Kill Edward. the sort of effect that works, like, I don't know. I think you're right. Like, Once an Addict followed by Friends, like, it's heavy. It's getting heavy. I think the beat is fine. Like, I think when you're going to do a lot of heavy, like, content, like, back to back to back, you kind of need, like, music that will, like, lighten it, or, like, that will take it to a different place or change the energy or whatever else. And that's just, this is a little, like, section of the album where that's not happening. So, like, I don't know. The song is okay. I'm cool.
Friends is, if I'm hearing this right, Friends is about drugs, right?
I believe that is correct. I gotta look, double check, but yeah, that sounds, because I've heard the album like 4 or 5 times. That sounds right.
I think Friends is about weed, so
right.
I don't like weed songs. But you know, the beat is dope, and I get it. For I think the narrative for this song is really interesting. It's interesting because I think this is where it starts to get like, oh, you're not talking about a character. You're talking about you.
Yeah. Which is, spoiler, that's how a lot of these J. Cole albums go.
Absolutely. And people are like, yeah, it's about his cousin who at 19, like, no.
It's like, there's a narrator. It's like, is there?
Nope. It's him.
Mm-hmm.
It's him. 10,000%. It's him. So yeah, that's when I was like, oh, okay. Got it. So yeah. Yeah.
But like, he's being real, right, with his fans. He's being transparent. That is what the people want, right?
Yeah, that's what the people think they want.
Okay.
That's what people think they want.
Okay.
Transparency comes with a level of responsibility. And this is coming from somebody who in his early days used to say way too much. Transparency comes with a level of responsibility that I don't think people understand when they say it's what they want. Because the responsibility not only falls on the giver of the transparency, but also the recipient of the transparency. And you have a responsibility to receive and do certain things with that information,
right,
and process it in a certain way. And I think in a lot of instances, the listener does not take that into consideration, especially not with public knowledge. Like, if you and I have a conversation on the side, there's certain things that we know about each other that, like, I'll never speak of publicly because they're transparent conversations and they have no business getting out there. Now, if somebody decides to have a transparent conversation with music and present that publicly, then people, I feel like they process it the same way that they process other information that's just regular. Like, I went to the store today, or this happened in the news today. And you can't do that the same way. It's not fair to the information that is being shared. You have to handle it with a certain level of responsibility and sensitivity and intimacy. And that doesn't really happen. And I don't think that people know that they're supposed to handle it that way. But we'll get there.
Okay. You want to talk about Windowpane? Produced by...
I haven't heard the song all the way through.
Produced by Cole. I was really intrigued because, like, there's some non-J. Cole-like sample chopping happening at the beginning of this where I was like, oh, where's he going with this? But then the beat drops and I'm like, all right, this is fine. This song is, again, heavy, right? Like, he's sort of really, now it's very obvious, right? Like, this is like him contemplating like his own success and like what it means and like, you know, what can he do at this point? And like, it gets, you know, even that gets like really heavy by the end of it. But like, you know, I don't know. I think Cole's kind of rapping on this. Like, this is one of those things where it's like, if the last third of this album wasn't so heavy, like one of these, like this song in isolation might feel a little different, but like you're starting to like, it's starting to weigh on you a little bit by the time you get here.
Yep.
And honestly, like this is a good example. Like, music can be really affected by like the environment you hear it in. And like, man, the weather is nice.
Yep.
I
tweeted it. The weather breaking is the worst thing to happen to this album.
Like,
this album should have came out. If this would have came out 3 weeks ago, he'd have been fine.
2 months ago. Like,
he'd have been perfect in February.
Cause like I don't know, maybe I'm the wrong kind of hip hop fan. Right. Like, but man, if I'm driving around nice weather, like, am I really going to like, go, let me like, yeah, let's play Windowpane.
Let's play it. I mean, that's where you go. I think you probably go to ATM.
Maybe.
KOD at ATM. That's probably it.
But like, I talk to people about music, sometimes I talk about like, we talk about on the show a lot too, right? Like, is this like a headphone song or like a, you know, club song? Or is this like a drive around the car song? There's a lot of headphone songs on this album, which is kind of a J. Cole thing in general. But yeah, like, it's really weird because like, we talk about this so much and like, this is a great example where it's like, hey, look, like, beat's good enough. You know, if you're a J. Cole fan, like, you're not really, you just want to make sure the beat's not bad, and the beat's not bad. You know, and he's rapping and there's content and like, it should be like A plus B equals C, but it's like, not always. I don't know. I think context too. So I'm curious. I want to ask you about this. This theoretically ends the album, even though there's another song after this, which is the intro to a new album.
Right.
This is a very heavy way to end the album.
Yep.
Like, was he really going to end the album this way?
This is why I say that J. Cole is... loved for what he represents rather than what he actually does.
Well, what do you mean by that?
So he is currently getting praise for, you know, putting a focus on mental health and, you know, and the name of the album is Kill Our Demons, right? So I would assume at the end of the album that the demon is killed.
Well, but maybe not.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, if I see the album, if the album's called Kill Our Demons, and this is where you're going sonically, I'm expecting by the end of the album for the demon to have been killed. And it's not. If anything, it's more prevalent. The demon that maybe exists on KOD and ATM and Photographs is not the demon that is existing on Brackets and, or not Brackets, but Windowpane and what was the record before? Whatever came before.
Friends. Wait, so didn't you say you haven't gotten all the way through Windowpane?
I can't. It's too heavy.
Right. And then there's the outro.
We're going to get to the outro. But
No. Not 1985. There's an outro to this song.
Oh, word?
Yeah.
I haven't heard it. Do I need to hear it?
It's about how God's trying to teach us a lesson. He's coming back. Like, we're his children. He's going to restart the world. Like, he tries to, like, pull the rabbit out the hat.
Surprise! Hold on. Is he talking or is he rapping?
You should listen.
I put my head to the sky, I sing with you from, and it made my mama cry.
Oh, right after this. Nope. Such a platinum black and celebrate. Wait, where is he? Oh, you're still, yeah, you're still too early on.
Why do y'all think this bad stuff happens?
Yeah, here you go.
Why can't the world just be all nice things? Yes, sir.
Because God is trying to warn us or teach us a lesson that we need to learn. Or he's trying to warn us of he's coming back. to see us and take us home and redo the world. He's coming back to have us be his children and for us to see him for the first time, so we can rejoice with him and have all time. And after we do that, he's gonna restart the world.
Where's that? Where do I hit? Hold on. Before I even get into the concert, where is that sample from? It sounds like something RZA used.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't found the sample for it yet.
Okay, so as a believer, I'm not going to say he's wrong.
Okay.
What I will say is that you can't clean all that up in 45 seconds. You can't clean it up in 45 seconds. You can't be like, horrible, horrible, death, depression, helplessness. Oh, yeah, Jesus coming back. The end. 1985. Like, you can't do that. As much as you packed, like, you have to unpack all that you packed up. So had I not known that, like, I'm not walking away from that hopeful. I'm not hearing that and being like, yeah, you know what? Even if the information is correct, the way in which it was presented, I'm not hopeful. I'm terrified. So, nah.
Okay.
I guess I applaud the attempt, but yeah, there's a different way.
He doesn't stick the landing.
Yeah, he doesn't stick the landing. So Cole, I think Cole has some deep, deep emotional trauma. I think
talks pretty openly about it.
Yeah, I think Cole, the last few albums have been cries for help. And instead of like getting help, he has become the help. And you know, there is a theory that people believe in is that, you know, when you sacrifice yourself for others, like your needs, when you sacrifice what you need to give other people what they need, that in turn you will get what you need. That's kind of true, but you also got to take care of yourself. But you can't be so engulfed in what we define today as self-care that you don't see the need of others. So, for example, if my arm is broke, I can't carry you anywhere because my arm is broke. If my leg is broke, I can't drag you anywhere because my arm is broke. I can't walk. I'm better equipped to serve other people when I'm whole. So when I hear this album, when I'm done hearing this album, I feel horrible for J. Cole. I'm like really empathetic for him. Like, I want to sit down and talk to him and ask him if he's okay and let him vent for real outside of, like, I don't want to hear any music. Just talk to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, so for all the, and you know, I posted someone on social media about that. Like, for all of us who are enjoying this music, because he's not the only one who raps like this. Like, I think helplessness and depression and all these, you know, emotional things, I think that they have become like the norm because they've been so taboo for so long. I think that now, particularly in the Black community, which you could parallel with the hip hop community, I'll say that depression, all this stuff has always been like prevalent in hip hop. My first time hearing somebody being depressed with Scarface on My Mind's Playing Tricks on Me, that's 91. So it's always been prevalent in hip hop. But I think that because there's such an emphasis on it culturally, that now I think we hear it with different ears and eyes. But I don't think we've gotten to the place yet where we understand. I think if Cole like looked like some of like these like junkie rappers, then I think that people would try to get him help. But I don't even think they're getting them help. They're not getting the junkie rappers help. You've got some of the junkie rappers. I think, which one was it? Like Lil Xan, one of them or whatever? I sound old. Like, he was like
Big Little, whatever.
Yeah, Big Lil Pill Popper, whatever his name is. Like, he got off clean and he was like, yo, like, this stuff is terrible. Like, don't do this. But he looks like a lean user. You know what I'm saying? Like he almost had to like get off of it himself versus you have now created an audience of people who think, I mean, because I guess now we can get into 1985 where like he's almost rapping to himself. So
you think 1985 is him rapping to himself?
No. Okay. He's totally 100% rapping to like the lean rappers.
Yeah.
They said his Lil Pump. I thought it was Smoke Perp, but whatever. They all look the same. I think that some of the themes that he's talking about in that record apply to him as well. Like, your audience, if they're looking to you for a standard and you can't provide that standard, so like emotional wholeness and wellness, so like when they get that, they hear it differently. I hear J. Cole, like, okay, so people often ask me, Doc, like, they're like, okay, so you're a Christian, how do you listen to, you know, all these other rappers who talk about this, that, and the third? And as I said earlier on the A side, like, I know what I'm getting into when I'm listening to this music. So, like, I don't believe that it affects me to the degree that maybe it does for other people. Like, I don't find my identity in the music maybe like I did when I was in my teens and my 20s. But because I'm aware of that, there's certain artists that I cannot listen to because I feel them differently. And it's mostly the emotional rappers. So the way that I feel Joe Budden, the way that I feel J. Cole, the way that I feel some of Kendrick's stuff, the way that I feel some of Drake's stuff, it's because the things that they've dealt with, I've dealt with personally. And it's one of the reasons that when I gave my life to the Lord, and it's one of the reasons why, you know, like, I just, some of it I can't ingest because I feel the heaviness. I couldn't get through Windowpane in the outro because it was so heavy. I felt it, you know what I'm saying? So like, I feel that J. Cole stuff. So when people celebrate it, I'm like worried about just our people and our culture. Just like, are we either A, not hearing this correctly, or two, are we like in this place as well? And we don't like realize it.
I mean,
like,
go ahead. I mean, couldn't it be that people are celebrating the fact that like, here's somebody who's unafraid to talk about this?
Sure.
Okay.
But I think that sometimes we get into, and that's commendable. So let me not understate that. That's commendable, and it's something that needs to be talked about. I don't think Cole's the only person talking about it.
No.
But maybe somebody where he is, because we can easily say we can easily say that Cole is top five in terms of relevancy right now, right?
Sure, I think that's
like
right.
In this current, so we'll say post 2010. Are there four other rappers more relevant than J. Cole?
So Drake.
Drake.
Kendrick. Would you say Kanye?
I don't know. It's weird. Like, Kanye has taken a really big dive, but he was so high up, his dive is still like in the conversation.
Yeah. Also, he's nobody disappears and reappears like Kanye.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I think There's a younger audience for whom I'm not sure how much J. Cole even matters to them.
Right. It's weird. There's a whole audience under, like, these are the old heads. I've seen people say, you know, the class of 2010 have come back to right all the wrongs in hip hop. So that's Cole, Drake, Kendrick. Like, these are really guys who have like low-key 10-year careers already.
Yeah.
Or they're approaching it, which is really interesting. But I think maybe for somebody in his position, yes. His relevancy, his influence, people love J. Cole. He's up there with Eminem fans, Laker fans, Kobe fans, like, where like he just cannot do any wrong.
Kanye fans,
yes. Oh my God. Like, prior to like all the gibberish that Kanye was tweeting about in the last week before he kind of went left and people weren't feeling him, oh my God. Like, people were treating that like gospel. But, you know, I think that sometimes we get comfortable and content with talking about stuff. And when you and I were discussing, when Ferguson first happened and we were having these really socially, politically charged episodes of the show, after about our fifth or sixth one, I was done because I'm like, are we just going to march again? Are we going to rally again? Are we going to boycott again? Like, it's going to go away and it's going to happen again. We have to do something. So what are we doing with this information that Cole is presenting to us? We have to do something with it. Unless otherwise the victory is, oh, hey, J. Cole talked about it, but at the end of the album, he's still depressed. So where's the victory?
I mean, what if the victory is the fact that it's a process?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know. I understand what you're saying. I think I don't know. My issues with J. Cole are more like, as they always are, right? It's like actual execution of the song itself. I think content-wise, topically, where he's at in his career, like, I don't know. Like, we haven't really talked about 1985, like, the actual song that much. Like, I think the idea of J. Cole is like the person who's going to, like, I understand what he's trying to do with 1985. I do. You and I have talked a lot about how, like, all of a sudden, like, the last 2 years, everyone, like, is drugged out in a way that, like, our generation just never would. Like, our, you know, hip hop in our generation was obsessed with weed, right? And outside of, like, some, we'll say, I mean, everybody would brag about selling coke, but, like, outside of, like, some nose sniffs on, like, Wu-Tang intros, like, there wasn't a whole lot talked about anything harder than weed, really, for the most part.
Right.
But now we've got a whole generation that is, but look, we have a whole generation of, we got a whole, like, society that's trying to drug itself, which J. Cole talks about. And, like, I give him credit for talking about.
Sure.
Like, and so I look, I'm in a sense, I'm glad that like he is talking about what he's talking about in 1985. I just wish it were a better song.
Okay, so we didn't even talk about 1985 as a record.
That's
we,
right.
We got into the album. We didn't even touch 1985. So let's touch on that.
1985 wants to be a 1993 Tribe Called Quest beat.
Oh, God. Here you go.
It does, and it doesn't work. It sounds kind of like one, but it misses the mark. Okay. I know that that's not really the point for J. Cole songs. I think the idea of what he's doing, I totally get that. I don't know. It's really weird with J. Cole because I'm like, yeah, I get it. But like, I don't know. This isn't a great song to me. This is fine. Everybody was super excited like after the like listening party about this song.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, so I heard it and I was like, really? Like, it's cool. It works.
Doc.
Like, what am I missing? What am I missing?
Doc, mm-hmm. You know why this is. All right. So last night, I posted a record of me rapping Genesis Revelation over a Hiatus Coyote beat because yeah. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do this show. So a couple of media outlets reposted the video, and the video was Armand with a classic 90s flow or an old school flow. And I got offended. Like, what?
You're like, wait just a minute.
Wait, come on, man. Like, what? But I think in hearing what you just said, I understand why people said it. You and I listen to that stuff regularly. So it's still because it's still in our normal rotation, like we ain't really tripping off of it when we hear it. At least let's just talk about the beat. Let's not even get into like the lyrics just yet. But I think that's why. Because people don't normally listen to boom bap like that, even though it's all in the music now. Way more than it's been in a very long time. But yeah, when people hear that, this is like their hip hop fix. It's, you know, I think Fonte said it, like people want bars, but then when they get it, they don't really do anything with it. I think this is an example. If Cole had just rapped on this, it would have been eh. It's the fact that it was the way that he approached it flow wise, which was actually really dope. Really dope.
I appreciate that.
I really, really love the flows that he used on this record. And if he wasn't talking to the pill rappers, then like it wouldn't have been a thing. So it's like the return of the boom bappers. Like it's like boom bap's revenge. But if like J. Rue the Damager would have done this record, like it would have been like, man, get out of here, old head.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, and it's funny, right? Because the pill rappers, as you sort of call it, like feel a little like an easy target for J. Cole.
Sure.
Like, you know what? Why don't you talk about your man Future, right? Not really his, like a bigger name. You really want to talk about the effect, like people who rap about drugs and hip hop? Like, do it. No, you're going after Lil Pump. Okay, cool story, bro.
Okay, so did you take Lil Pump's side when he was like, wow, you're dissing a 17-year-old?
I took it as like, not quite on the level of like when Eminem would diss like somebody who wasn't like...
Moby?
Not like that at all. But like, look, like first of all, he's not even really... This isn't... I wouldn't call this a diss as much as it's like he's trying to do the diss thing where you like tell the truth about someone and that's the diss. But like, look, I mean, yeah, Lil Pump, but like... To me, that's kind of like red meat for like a portion of the J. Cole audience who wants to say, yeah, Lil Pump, stupid kid.
Mm-hmm.
Lo, you want to talk about like who really popularized like rapping about like depressing stuff and taking drugs? Yeah, you can go start with Mr. Future Hendrix. He's had a tremendous influence on that. A huge influence. You can go talk to Wheezy F Baby. Mr. Double Cup on the sidelines at a New Orleans Hornets game, Wheezy F Baby, in the late 2000s. You don't think kids were watching that? Like, you really want to do it, do it. Lil Pump's a little easy of a target for me, for J. Cole, personally. I don't know.
That's a very interesting point. I would love to know what our listeners think about that.
Yes, definitely.
Hit us up at CRS Podcast on Twitter, hashtag Clock Radio Speakers, or at @Doc_Beats.
Yeah, just go right to Doc.
Nah, go to both of us. Like, I really want to hear this conversation. I really want to engage in that because that's a great point. That's a great point. Does that coincide with what we've talked about with Cole being calculated?
No, I think I really do think like, look, I think that these quote unquote SoundCloud rappers have taken all these influences and they're throwing on top of the fact that they are even younger and more reckless. Right? Like when you're 17 years old, you are making terrible decisions, right? Like you're often like it is more likely you're making terrible decisions. So it's like, yeah. Like 17-year-olds who grew up idolizing rappers who did X, Y, and Z in this culture where we take drugs for everything, right? Parents take drugs, parents are popping pills because, you know, it's our culture. We medicate heavily, right? Yeah. And there are totally legit reasons why people take medications, strong or otherwise. I totally get all that. But there is an aspect, like we talk about the opioid crisis in this country. Like there's this whole generation of young rappers who just talk about popping pills and drinking lean, like all this other sort of stuff. And yet, what, they grew up on like rappers, you know, like rappers who would talk about, I mean, what we all think 3-6 Mafia sipping on some scissor was about, right? What do we think? Right. What has Future been doing for the past 5 years?
Right.
Right? Like, you know, I don't know. This was, to me, it doesn't seem that crazy. So it's like, I get why he wants to do that. But like, you really think a kid's going to listen to, like, you think a 17-year-old's going to listen to J. Cole? 17-year-olds don't listen to anybody.
Yeah, but he's like, the old, he's 33.
And now he's an old head.
Like the old head.
Right. So like, instead, like, no, J. Cole, go after like a peer. Mm. That's all.
Interesting.
Anything else you want to say about J. Cole? I mean, so where does this album fit? Like, I have a hard time judging his catalog.
I think because I don't like most of his catalog, yeah. It's not a place where I can judge it at.
Because like, the critics are like loving this album.
Yeah.
Talking like his best album. This is a new level for J. Cole.
I think it is. I think for him, Forest Hills Drive is probably his apex right now. Mm. I actually went back and listened to For Your Eyes Only, which was extremely depressing. Good Lord. And Forest Hills Drive, which wasn't as depressing as I remember it. And I tried to figure that out. I think Forest Hills Drive is probably still his apex. I'm still a fan of The Warm Up and Friday Night Lights, but I understand that I'm never getting that Cole again, and I kind of don't want him.
He's in a different place now.
It's a completely different place.
That'd be like if a fan was like, I really want Dreaming Out Loud, Armand.
Absolutely not.
See?
No. But yeah, you're right.
Okay.
You're right. So, yeah, I'm not sure, but I would love, again, like, fans. Yeah,
let us know.
J. Cole, listen to the show. Let us know where you all have Cole's, where you have a KOD in his discography. Give me his list. Give me a list.
Yeah, I'd love to know people how they J. Cole fans, how they rank it. And if you're a J. Cole fan, you listen all this way through. We appreciate that. I know that we have a rep for being hard on J. Cole. But like, I don't know, dude has talent. I want to see him do good stuff with it.
Yep.
We don't spend, you know, we don't break down. I mean, like, speaking of like rappers like Lil Pump, like, we don't sit here and do track by track breakdowns for Lil Pump projects, but like, we do for J. Cole because like, we think he can do really cool, really great stuff. Like, we're just holding him to a high standard. That's all.
Yeah. But I think that overall, so just let me not confuse anybody. Let me be clear.
Okay.
This Cole album is going to do extremely well for him.
Yeah.
He's going to be able to do a lot with this project. This album is going to sound great with a band. This is going to perform well. He wrote it to tour it, and it's 100% going to tour well. So I think if this was his goal, one of his goals, he accomplished it 1000%. So let me not get that out the way. And I think the album is good for what it is. Am I going to go back and listen to it? Not that much, but I don't think it's trash. I don't think it's whack. Like, I think he did a good job for what he wanted to do. And I'm appreciating him clearly setting out a goal and accomplishing that goal. I'll say that.
Okay. Anything else you want to say about J. Cole?
No. Bring on Kanye, bring on Drake. I'm ready for this year to be whatever this year is going to be so that we can hopefully get a break. And I have no idea what's going to come out. Remember when Port of Miami 2 was going to come out?
Yeah.
Like, Ross probably saw all that stuff coming on the horizon and was like, nope.
Hey, everybody. How does August look?
Yeah, right. What are y'all doing around back to school?
Just let everybody know the schedule. So it is the 24th of April right now. This episode will be out by the time you hear it, should be the 25th, or maybe you hear it later in the week. Roughly a week after that, an episode that we already recorded where we're going to talk Definitive 15 for Guilty Pleasure Songs, which is a fantastic, hilarious episode that, like, it feels weird to talk about an episode before y'all hear the episode, but like, it's a great episode and I can't wait to see the responses y'all have to that. That should be coming out the first day or two of May. And then I will be back in the States a week after that, roughly. Might have some jet lag. If anything major happens, I'll try to try to get on, you know, jump on a podcast with Armand as soon as possible. If not, we might wait until the week after. But just so you'll know the release schedule for next couple weeks. Armand, you got anything else?
No. See you guys Friday.
Yeah.